Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is an unusual day because I can't get on to the chat. I can't even get on Safari on my computer for some reason. It is a holiday, and I'm not at home, so I have my smaller computer, and there's no chat. I can't even get on Safari, so I'm really sorry about that, but it's a Monday morning, so yay, and it's a holiday, so double yay. It's really nice, but today we have a topic to knock down, and so everyone who's celebrating today, I hope you're having a great celebration, and things that kind of go back to normal tomorrow. But today's show about self-sabotage, it just needs to be talked about. When we were doing questions on Friday and I got off the show, I thought this is time to have that talk because we have the talk on and off, but self-sabotage is so subtle. You can't even see it. The person who has it in denial of the fact that they even have it. If you bring it up, they look at you like, hey, I've got all my ducks in a row. I don't know what you're talking about. So most of the time when somebody's going through this, you can only pull it out in an example of maybe how you're treated. Because how you're treated is really when you know and you feel like, wow, why did this person just do this? We were having a great time. Why were they not very nice? Or they were mean, or they were just dismissive. And then they say, well, I didn't do anything, and they don't think anything's wrong with what they did. But to feel self-love is truly not an easy feeling to come by when we are taught that self-love is selfish, conceited, or even narcissistic. So to self-sabotage, it seems to be the easier of the two at first to just, you know, yourself down. Someone says you look great. No, I don't. No, I don't do this. No, I don't do that. Because we used to be, and we are used to, seeing the fear, the doubt, the worry, the control, and that kind of makes us all feel like we're in the same boat, and it leaves us doing things that react to fear and to doubt and to worry rather than our strengths. Instead of saying, yeah, you know what, I get that. But self-sabotage, it's the quiet little emotional things that say, I have not developed my insecurities yet. I haven't paid attention to them. I think I know what they are, but really I'm not the problem. Everybody else is. And I'm not sure I deserve what I really, really, really want yet. So how do we recognize what we do to ourselves that takes away from how we start to turn ourselves around? And how do we look like a soul that helps itself? Because a lot of times it looks like we're helping ourselves. We just might not know up to this point what's going on or why. It's really interesting that we can be in our own bodies. We can work hard to make our money. We can behave in a way that allows us to want to grow. And then in one full swoop, we just cut somebody up that's close to us and make us feel bad. And I wonder why, like, the fallout didn't happen. Great example, just two people. They're together. They're walking on a beach. They're going to have a good time to see the beautiful weather. And one of them says something and the other one says, oh, what did you say? Oh, I just said I burped. Oh, okay, so you burped. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. The wind was so loud, I couldn't hear you. Well, that doesn't mean I didn't burp. And you say, wow, where did you get that reaction? I wasn't challenging you. I just said I didn't hear you. And then you walk away, but the energy saying that is so dead, so awful, so weird, that you just stop and you go, what just happened? And why did this person have to speak like this? And what was the purpose of throwing that on us at the end of such a beautiful walk? We have these, and they're not big things. You have to ask the other person, why so mean? Why did you want to take this away from us today? What difference does that make? But when people get in a place like that, to have a lot of patience and a lot of work to do ahead of them with this relationship, it's just an amazing feat when we don't pay attention to what we're doing to ourselves. Another great example of this, someone just got a job. They've been looking for a job for a long time. And now that they got a job and it's in retail and they're going and they're going to go sell some clothes for a local company in their neighborhood there. And once they get there, they start watching everybody and they're looking and they're saying things like, hey, you know what? This person doesn't do anything. Oh, that person is over here doing this or that. And you're listening to this. And I remember cringing and saying to this person, you are not high enough on the totem pole to walk in and criticize people. You're the newest kid on the block. You have no idea why people are doing what they're doing and what's happening. You just have no idea. They didn't listen. They kept on talking. They thought they had the ear of someone who was just listening to them. They weren't actually doing anything with them. They were just listening. And what happened? He ended up not getting any hours. They did this thing online where you get your hours and you put in your days off and it just automatically figures out when you work. And slowly but surely, they didn't want that person around. Because people who go in there and they think that they have this huge denial of what anybody else is doing, all that matters is what they're doing. And they're saying, this person isn't doing right. And who died and left them? Boss of all these people. And all these people, right or wrong, are not going to let someone rock the boat who just walked in to do that. But then it made me realize why this person doesn't keep a job. It's not an easy thing to do, to go in somewhere and not see yourself. Because when you don't see yourself, no one else is going to see the real you either. They're going to see the you that just knows themselves down and knock everybody else down and make it not look like them. And these people are really good arguers. They've got their argument technique down so well that every time you feel like something happened, you're going to get caught into a tornado and you're not going to be able to come out. And then after a while, you just get tired of it because you think, gosh, they keep saying, just say what I'm doing. But then you say something. And then they get defensive. They get offensive. They come after you. They blame you for their reactions. It's because of what? Because you're so bad. I don't do anything wrong. They have those kinds of feelings over and over again. It's the same thing every time you have a problem. How do you reach someone like that? You have to say, hey, you know what? We need to have a discussion. I think that somewhere, your behavior with me, I'm starting to take as somebody who's trying to hurt both of us and bring us down to this level of you not being able to be happy just because things are okay. is you need to put someone down, something down, or take away from it. There's a person who has this tagline. Every time you talk to them, no matter what you say, they say, well, and then you say something else, and it's, well, if you say so, and it just keeps going on, and you think, well, what's the point of me talking? If everything I say is, if I say so, then, well, I just said so. I don't need to be told I just said it. So what happens to you? If everything you say is going to get a pan answer like that, and they say, well, you know, I just didn't know what you were talking about. Oh, now wait, now I know why I said that after 20 minutes and why I keep saying that, because I really just don't know what you're talking about. Well, that's how we learn. I didn't have that experience. You did. Well, okay, so let's split hairs and let's be really, really silly about this conversation. And it's such a dead end. These kinds of energies that get put out that cause no exchange rather than having an exchange leaves both people on the edge. The one who's doing it is looking for the fight, and the one who doesn't want to fight isn't going to say anything. Bring it up, and the person might come up with a great reason or excuse. But it's never okay. And so what do? You sit there and you say, okay, well, now I really do have to have a discussion, because we are not able now to be okay with each other, because now they're adding up. So now the person that it's happening to is left with the task of walking up and having to say something. And then you say something and you say, you know, when you talk like that, it's very dismissing. When you make me feel like I'm trying to win something by maybe saying something to you like, you know, I didn't hear you. Well, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Well, how old are we? And the other person has to think about it and say, wow, I didn't realize, you know, my behavior was getting out of hand. But that's not the point. The behavior isn't getting out of hand. What's out of hand is a cover up of what you feel inside. Really what's happening. It's the big cover-up of the feelings you didn't touch yet, you didn't let yourself feel yet, the way your parents talked to you, the way people must have dismissed you for you to try to dismiss somebody else. There's a lot behind those dismissive comments. A lot of self-loathing, and I did this wrong, and it's going to make you vengeful towards everyone else who notices. If you hate everyone that notices, makes you want to argue with everyone that notices, wants you to prove them wrong, wants to spend a lot of time in the argument phase of a relationship. It doesn't allow for growth. It's a growth stopper. It's an energy exchange stopper. And then over time, as these people live with themselves, they realize that over time, people leave them. And they still don't think it has anything to do with them. Believe that it's the other person, and, oh, well, all of this was wrong with this person, and all of this was wrong with that person. Oh, that one. Oh, forget it. I'm not even talking about that. And you're like, do you see a pattern here? Because why is this not happening to everyone else? Why and how is it just happening to you? Paying attention to the repetition helps us all. Pay attention to the repetition. We're going to keep repeating. Hurting other people's feelings because we are hurt, and then scratching back when somebody attacks you or starts to put on you the things that you feel you're not entitled to feel? Goes back to how your parents spoke to you, may have dismissed you, may have made you feel like you had to prove yourself all the time or you weren't worth having. There's a mother I know who has a beautiful child. And she has made a decision that she doesn't want to have a child anymore. And she's going around asking people, even looked into how you would sign the child over, how you would release guardianship. The money she gets for the father, she wants to give to whoever takes her daughter to raise her daughter. Because she just doesn't want to be a mother because her child to her isn't perfect. And the people she has asked were like appalled. At first, one of them said, I'll take her. But then thought about it and they thought, well, wait a minute. What's going to happen to this child if their own mother willingly gave them up? And the child is smart, just not as smart as the mother wants the child to be. She says, I just can't be a mother because she comes from a culture and she's raised in a culture before she came to America in a way that says that your child has to be ultimately successful. Her child is not even a teenager yet, and she's made a decision that her child is not successful and has a hard time in the hard subjects, even though she's doing well in them. So she's made a determination that her child is not going to do well in life all by herself. Beautiful child. And so now she's like, dud, I want to give it away. Give it away. And it started by her making jokes by saying, my child's for sale. If you really love her so much, you might want to take her. Able to handle 10 children. But because of the level of lack of self-awareness and self-acceptance, she cannot accept her daughter. She cannot accept her daughter for who her daughter is. And I'm working with her through somebody else. Explain to her what's going on. That the issues don't lie in the child. She could have had any child. But children don't come out brain scientists. They come out learning people just like us. But that lack of self-acceptance, that denial, going back to denial, because self-sabotage all stems back to a denial, rejecting things that hurt you because you were hurt very early on. Your security needs were not met between the first 18 months of life, or between 0 to 18 months of life. Your security needs were not met. Somebody didn't hold very much you. Didn't give you love, left you feeling like a computer. And then as you got older, you were shaped by you either did well or not. And I'm watching this human being who's a young child, even though the mother didn't give the child up, to keep saying, my child's for sale, telling your kid they're not smart. Keep focusing on what isn't working and only on what isn't working, leaving it to where there's no energy exchange between the parent and the child, because the parent is the parent and they know what to do and you're just too little to know, and I'm just assuming that you better prove you're okay because you're not. It's something to think about. Whole human being at risk, in jeopardy. Of a life that just, the cycle is so deep inside that it's hard to break, and that's where the denial comes in. Oh, but everything looked good on the outside. We did this, we did that, we had this, we had that. Everything was good. I had a dog, we were fine. that part of you that can't accept yourself is because nobody accepted you. So what do? You get older, you get into a relationship, you're hurt, but you don't know you're hurt. Everything looks good on the outside. And then the minute you walk into a relationship, what happens? You start thinking, wow, why does this person love me? Nobody's ever loved me like this before. How do I handle this? What do I do with this? You just don't know how. And then the person comes at you, and then you do to them what was done to you, thinking that's how you love, because that's how you've been loved. So you say things like, instead of, why do you love me? I didn't mean what I said, because now you're scared to say what you mean, because if you say what you mean, what's going to happen? The other person isn't going to love you. So now you're using this person to play out the game, the mental game that was played out on you. And what does that look like? Comments. Well, it doesn't mean I didn't burp. But if you say so. Like they're so self-important. But it's a false self-importance. It's a very immature self-importance. And it's a very energy draining. And energy system doesn't even know it. And so when they're doing these silly little things, and they can be doctors, they can be lawyers, they can be teachers, they can be friends. After a while, you see the repetition, the cycle. Every time they meet somebody in a few years, that person is gone. And they're gone because nobody can sustain not exchanging energy in a relationship. Money can buy you everything. But integrity and respect and self-love is what's going to run your life. Money will come and go, but who are you in both places? Relationships. Some we grow out of, some we don't, some we stay forever, some we don't. The main thing to keeping any relationship alive, no matter what two people it is between, is the exchange of energy. As long as two people can hear, listen, feel, be with, enjoy each other's company, they're there. But if you're not exchanging energy, you have nothing to hold on to. You sense of why? What are we doing? Why are we here? What does love mean to this person? And are you just there to play out what happened to them over and over again because it remains unsolved? Is that why you're there? Are you just a pawn in the puzzle of this person's pain that they are not addressing? Are you the one that's going through the repetition over and over again? I call it the shelf life where, you know, you begin, there's a middle, and there's an end all the time. Some people I know, it had nothing to do with self-sabotage when they end relationships. It's just there's some people really, without realizing it, like to be alone. But they don't think it's okay to be alone, so they keep trying to be in relationships. And then they end up alone again, and they say, why do I keep ending up alone? And I always say, because you actually want to be alone. And that's okay. But into a relationship, it walks into a workplace, it walks in everywhere. They take a superior attitude to what's going on around them. They alienate the people around them. They make them feel like they're doing something wrong because they don't want to do something wrong. Even if they are doing something wrong, they will blame you for it. They can't do any wrong. because their denial is so high, because their love has been so contingent on what they've done over who they were as a child. People don't just do self-sabotage. It doesn't show up in someone's life later in life. It comes with them right out the gate because that's all they've known. Doesn't mean they're bad people. It means that the way they were raised injured them. They didn't know how to be themselves. They were scared to be themselves. And it's funny because sometimes you'll get in places and you're just being yourself, whatever that is. And then when the attacks start coming or that behavior starts showing up, the person who comes in that really loves in a healthier way tries to fix or help the other person initially. And then they start to feel bad that they can't help the other person, that the other person isn't helpable because they were not willing to see what's going on around them. And then you bring it up, and now you're starting to get in trouble for bringing it up. And they start telling you how that can't happen. And then on top of it, they start pointing out things you do and what are they doing? They're eroding of the relationship. They're playing out their cycle. They're pushing you away rather than in. And soon they're going to find themselves without yet another relationship. And then when they get out, they're going to say things like, but I believe in love and I'm going to look for love. I'm going to find that love I need. It wasn't this person, and it wasn't that person, and it wasn't that person, and it wasn't that person, and it goes on and on. But they're going to find the right person for them. And they want somebody who's smart and intelligent and does things. Smart and intelligent who does things. They're going to figure out that what you're doing isn't very nice to you or to them. And that it is an energy stopper. And if it's going to do that, if it's going to stop the flow of energy between the two of you, we all know what's coming after that. And the other person has to ask themselves why they're attracted to such people. And the one who does it has to ask themselves why they do that to people that they believe they love. And how hard it is for them to let go of people they love when they see them in that way. It's a catch-22, and it'll always be a catch-22 unless it is seen for what it is. Never forget that. Self-sabotage is it's a self-alienation. Find that you're having those repetitious type things in your world, in your life, with yourself, with someone you love. If you find that happening, you feel that happening, take a look. Start asking questions of life early on. And ask that person if they're willing to grow or if they want to stay the same. You guys, I have 10 seconds. I love you so much. I will see you tomorrow on Tuesday. Have a great holiday weekend. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.